I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. I also saw this headline over the weekend that Bongino and Patel are going to reignite some old investigations, including the pipe bomb that was placed outside of the DNC headquarters on January 6th. And they're also going to go back to two Julys ago. Remember that? The cocaine at the White House?
Yeah.
I would say one is a justifiable investigation. That is the pipe bomb. I want to know who that was. But as far as going back to look for the baggie of cocaine 2 years later, I mean, come on. We'll waste our time with that, really. I saw that. It was my initial reaction. Like, really? We're going to go back and look at that?
You don't want to know?
Does it matter?
Yes.
You think so?
Absolutely, I want to know.
See,
absolutely.
My initial thought when I saw the headline in both of their pictures, I said, all right, so nothing to see here with Jeffrey Epstein, right? No, he killed himself. Suicide. I saw it. I saw it all.
Yeah, that's a separate subject.
But now I'm going to go back and look at the little cubbyhole with the little baggie.
All right, well, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can be PO'd about the Epstein thing, but also want to know that there, you know, what the cocaine was in the White House. Yeah. We absolutely want to know. Yes.
All right.
Was it Joe's?
Was it Hunter's?
Was it Jill's?
Was it Jill's?
Or was it someone that we're not thinking of?
That's right.
Who was it?
Could be a staffer. Could be an aide.
Big Mike?
Maybe it was the person actually running the White House. They needed to take a stimulant to work all those hours.
Big Mike?
Could have been the two dudes that decided to have sex in the Senate floor.
Well,
yeah, we still don't know
about that.
Yeah.
I'd like to know who those guys are. Yeah. Not that I really want to know what exactly happened, but just names.
You can see the pictures. You know what happens.
Yeah. Oh, well. Let's get down to business. Let's get to the news. Round number two, 7:03.
One guy was the other guy's doggy, if you know what I mean.
Go on, save us. Get us out of the muck.
Oh, my goodness.
Take us to the shoe stinks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes, we are sponsored this morning in Kale & Company News Live, which is your Tuesday morning, by the way. We are heating up to 75 degrees, but right now it's a little bit chilly. 55 degrees, partly sunny, as we did have that beautiful sunrise earlier this morning. So in the news, we still have quite a scene, and this is making national news, unfortunately, for Philadelphia, as the headline is Memorial Day mass shooting in Philadelphia. So in this scene, the latest from police, the quote is rapid gunfire erupted in Fairmount Park. This is from Philadelphia Police Commissioner Kevin Bethel, and holding that news conference in the wee hours of the morning, confirming that a man and a woman were killed when somebody opened fire. A lot of young people, at least three teenagers between the ages of 15 and 17, they are among the wounded. And Commissioner Bethel saying it has been quite a challenging overnight.
We have a little bit of Bethel if you want to hear some of it.
Briefing overview of what happened. Around 10:27, men and women hear gunshots. And we have officers out here. We have different groups of young people or different groups that are out here. They're moving them out of this process. Around 10:27, they hear several gunshots fired. As a result of that gunfire, we have 11 shooting victims. Of those 11, 8 of them are adults. Two of those individuals, a male and a female, have been pronounced. The other 8 are in, other 9 are in a stable condition. Of those total 11, 3 of them are juveniles, 15, 16, and 17. Mm. And so it's been a challenging day for the men and women. Throughout the different parts of the city, we had large groups of individuals, particularly juveniles. This one, a little bit different. We have a blend of adults and juveniles. The men and women were here earlier in the day, saw the activity, were moving those, that they were packing up as this incident unfolded. But unfortunately, the individuals continued to engage in gunfire, even though the officers were in the area. And we have a lot of investigation to do. As you can see, it's a very, very large scene. We'll be here until daylight to be able to capture. We have multiple rounds that were fired. So I'll stop there and see if you have any questions.
disturbing.
It is disturbing, and one of the things that they're highlighting is police were there, so they knew that there was this planned huge gathering, big barbecue, as he said, during earlier in the day, and I guess that was just breaking up. So we don't know the motivation. We don't know any of that, but there were police present, and they still opened fire. No police officers were injured in that one.
So there were police there, and they still didn't care. They still opened.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's unbelievable.
Of course. So,
this is Krasner. There's no ramifications for anything. So
Philadelphia likes this, though.
Yeah.
You know, Philadelphia's fine with it.
A little bit more from Bethel.
Incident of, like, mass hysteria where just people started firing and it was just a lot of people.
We don't know yet. We can hear multiple rounds from stuff that's been already posted on social media. The team will dissect that. We have our team up there. Crime scene is now going through, looking at the shell cases. We'll be able to determine, you know, if it was one weapon or multiple weapons. But it's pretty rapid fire, so we'll be pretty confident that there probably was a switch on this gun.
There were some videos on social media circulating. I'm assuming you guys will be using that as part of your investigation?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go through all of the social media stuff that's come after and prior to see if there was anything that we could have missed.
Do they have any description of the shooters?
Nope. Okay. You know, no description. We don't have the names of the victims yet.
Mm-hmm. How about the cars? Do we have descriptions of the cars?
No descriptions whatsoever.
No. Gotcha.
If you do a quick Google search, definition of mass shooting, a mass shooting, according to the AI overview response on Google, a mass shooting is generally defined as an incident involving four or more people shot, either injured or killed, in a single event, not including the shooter. You know what bothers me about these stories, Dawn, is we don't always get the painting of the portrait via the media of a mass shooting. It seems like they're selective when they want to describe it as a mass shooting. I know they're talking about that. I've seen New York Post, Fox News, you talked about it. It's gone national. There's headlines across the country, not just locally with all the publications or outlets here. But boy, they love to jam mass shooting down your throat, like if it's in a school setting, a grocery store, if it fits the description of a narrative that the media wants to paint. But largely, a lot of these times, when they happen in the inner city and it qualifies as a mass shooting based on the numbers of the definition, it's almost forgotten about. They almost don't want to use that term. Do you agree with that, with the way the media decides what to label a mass shooting and what not, versus really what they're actually defined as?
Yeah, and I'm glad in this one, I think they can't avoid it with 11 people shot and two of them killed.
Right.
But you're right that oftentimes we find that there's a hesitancy depending on the narrative.
Like, we always think of mass shooting, Columbine, or Audrey Hale in Nashville, or the grocery store in Buffalo, or the Parkland shooting, or the Vegas casino shooting. But every weekend in these big cities, like Chicago, specifically, Chicago has a mass shooting every weekend, but it's not usually labeled mass shooting, and it doesn't get the sensationalized coverage.
Gun violence.
Gun violence.
Yeah, gun violence
in the city of Philadelphia.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Because it's all about the descriptions of the individuals doing the shooting.
Right.
That's what it's about.
Right.
The end.
Just, by the way, traffic alert in and around that area of Fairmount Park, Lemon Hill Drive area, Poplar Drive, still shut down. Accident investigation continuing.
By the way, did the shots ring out at, like, did they say 10:27 p.m.
Yes.
last night?
Yes. So people were packing up. I think a lot of people had left because they had huge groups of people there. But I think still some people were packing up and leaving.
Does anybody work the next day?
I was just going to say.
10:30?
Memorial Day, it's 10:30, you're still out?
Yeah, 4 or 5 o'clock. That's when we hit the road yesterday. Thank you. Come on. What is wrong with you?
I was in bed last night at 8:30 and the sun was coming through my window.
So was I.
I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
So was I. This morning it was light. It was light out. Like, it's getting lighter earlier now.
I'm just lying there. I'm looking up at the ceiling fan. I'm like, afternoon drive?
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense right now.
We, as Greg reported earlier this morning, we still have a backup. This is a long backup along I-95 southbound right near Woodhaven Road.
Yeah.
And there's a big tractor trailer, another large vehicle involved.
Jackknifed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackknifed. Don't pull up beside a big semi-truck because you're in their blind spot, so give them the space.
Yeah.
That's always the case.
Mm-hmm.
We should have, like, the bus driver cameras. I know Nick might not be an advocate of this.
And I'm a little all bus drivered out lately,
right.
Dawn.
Yeah, I know.
Damn it! How much more do you expect me to take?
That poor lady. I still want to find that lady. who the students loved and wanted to be rehired. But I wish we had those kind of cameras on semi-trailer trucks to show the idiot who comes up. You know what I mean? Cuts them off. And
oh, yeah.
Happens every time.
Yep.
We have a Philadelphia police officer recovering this morning. This was after an injury that happened in a crash. This happened in the city's Spring Garden section. So they're saying the police cruiser and a small hatchback, they were in that collision that deployed all the airbags in the vehicles. So the officer in stable condition but was responding to a call, lights and sirens, entered the intersection, and this driver of the SUV, I guess, just didn't. Maybe they have the music up or whatever, but didn't, you know, when they have lights and sirens, you know, you're supposed to pull over.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. And so that crash happened at that intersection.
Yeah. The amount of people that are just distracted, that have no idea what's behind them. Amazing.
It's so true. We talked a lot about Memorial Day, all the activities going on. I will say this, that for Ocean City, Sea Isle City, South Jersey, Wildwood, the reports we're getting from business owners is that they're reporting initially a record weekend. Everybody came out this weekend.
It was kind of like, it wasn't the warmest of weekends.
No.
I will say that.
Yeah,
you
no.
know, it was
so it wasn't
kind of overcast.
The weather.
Yeah. Yesterday was the nicest day of the whole weekend.
Yesterday was perfect.
It always works out like that, doesn't it? You know, especially with us, we have to work a morning drive and it's like,
can't take advantage of the full day.
I know. Yep. I hate it.
Yep.
So true.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fun little story here. You know how maybe over the weekend or you have a little extra time, you say, I'm going to clean out this junk drawer. My junk drawer is in the kitchen. It just always stuff ends up in there. So for a New Jersey couple cleaning out the junk drawer, they found a lottery ticket worth $1 million.
No.
Can you imagine this?
Wow. And it's still active. It's good.
Still,
they can cash in.
Wow.
That they bought the ticket, by the way, on New Year's Eve, because you only have, like you're saying, Nick, that 1 year it will expire. So they just found it. They had bought it New Year's Eve at a Speedy Mart food store in Trenton, and they forgot about it. It was in the junk drawer, decided, oh, I'm going to get all these old tickets. Sure enough, one of them worth $1 million.
How about that? You know, the hell with the lottery ticket. I want to bring junk drawers back. Remember the junk drawer?
Oh, yeah.
We still have one.
Roll of scotch tape.
Yeah.
Random batteries.
Scissors. Yep.
Yeah.
Loose assorted staples.
Yeah.
Rubber bands.
What else used to be in the junk drawer?
Pens that don't work.
God, I hate finding a pen that doesn't work. It's amazing. I walk around here searching for a pen from time to time. You can't find a pen in the building. There's a lot of, I think we have pen kleptos at
Odyssey
Philadelphia.
I agree, because they just restocked us with pens here somewhere.
Yeah, but the big pens that they give us are crap.
Yeah.
You got to force real hard to write. I need a smooth rolling gel pen.
We just looked at all the, you know, we did all the college visits.
Yeah.
So they give you a free pen. I'll have to bring in some pens for you guys.
The Pilot G2 is the OG GOAT pen.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, we got to make junk drawers a thing again.
The junk
drawer. You say one per house. My wife has one per room.
I mean, the junk drawers are still a thing, dude. Like, we've all said we all have one, so they're still a thing.
Old report cards. What else used to be in there? Remember those old little plastic things that would come on the keychain tags that you would get?
Oh, yeah.
Those little round ones that were, like, real hard. Yeah. Corks from the wine bottle.
Well, that is Kale and Company News Live. We begin a new series in baseball, 6:45 tonight, tomorrow night, the next night. So we got to look at Nick Kale. How's it going to be for Phil's fans as we face the Braves in this new series?
Should be just fine tonight, Dawn, going up to 75 degrees today. It's currently 58. A little overcast, and that'll be the theme throughout the day. And then some showers, chilly weather tomorrow, and then it'll be good for the rest of the week. Philly weather is sponsored by MTRule.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRUHL.com. All right, coming up next, I wanted to speak about this for the last 4 days. I did not say say a word about it. And I'm glad I didn't, because now more people, even in the mainstream, are verifying and running with the reports of Brittany Griner hurling racial insults at Caitlin Clark. This thing is just ridiculous. It has to stop. I don't even want to talk about women's basketball, but it's the racial component that we have to talk about, the media coverage or lack thereof from the story, and also the complicit nature of the league, the franchises, and the other people that cover this sport. We'll do that when we come back. It's Kale and Company on a Tuesday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Let's get to this story on Caitlin Clark. I'm going to be done with this story unless World War III breaks out. I'm never talking about this story again. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the media coverage of it. But it's justified in the media because of what's going on with Caitlin Clark, which is just wild. And when I saw the latest developments late last week, I think it was Friday or maybe Saturday, and, you know, X went nuts. And I held off on commenting on it because the only people that I saw talking about it were Fox News and OutKick. And I really couldn't make out specifically with 99% certainty what Brittany Griner is accused of saying on a slow motion video. And then I saw NBC News start talking about it. And then I saw Mediaite.com write about it. For those who don't remember, remember Brittany Griner. She's 34 years old. She's in the WNBA. She was out of the league for a while, playing in like some overseas semi-pro league or whatever it was. She goes to Russia. And Russia detains her for contraband, drug paraphernalia, something marijuana related. I don't know. It might have been like a vape pen or something like that. She's over there with, you know, other hostages in Russia. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris exchange prisoners, right? We had the Russian merchant of death, Victor Boot. So we traded this guy for a WNBA basketball player. All right, all good. And then along comes Caitlin Clark. Now, apparently this weekend, I think it was Saturday, Caitlin Clark and the Indiana WNBA franchise are playing Brittany Griner and the Atlanta franchise. And I want to play this footage. And Sean, if you can, let's just run this a couple of times in a row here. And the claim is that Brittany Griner calls Caitlin Clark trash and effing white girl. Roll this a few times. Clip K1 if you could, Sean.
The ticky-tack fouls that we were talking about earlier today.
There it is. Run it back again.
The ticky-tack fouls that we were talking about earlier today.
So, one more time.
The ticky-tack fouls that we were talking about earlier today.
So, I thought that's what I thought I saw her say, effing white girl. Not a huge, huge deal. But I say this. If it was the reverse, if Brittany Griner was white and Caitlin Clark was black and Caitlin Clark was the phenom that she is, how would that story be covered today by every mainstream media outlet, news media or sports media, MSNBC or ESPN? I think we know that answer. So I saw this story from NBCNews.com. It was actually written just 2 days ago by Andrew Greif. And they talk about the economic impact that Caitlin Clark has had for the WNBA. Did you know she is responsible for 26.5% of all WNBA economic activity last season? The season just started this year, year two, by the way, of her career. 27% of revenue from merchandise, ticket sales, television spots, radio advertisements. Her 2025 impact, according to economists, for one season will be between $875 million and $1 billion. Her salary is $76,000 $535 per year. She makes $28 million over an 8-year contract with Nike via endorsements. The Indiana attendance last year per home game in a 19,000-seat stadium was 17,000 per game, almost a sellout every night, most in the WNBA. League attendance up 33% since she entered the league. Record television ratings, 1.2 million viewers per telecast every time she has played on ABC or ESPN. Indiana is actually building a $78 million practice facility because of her. And I looked it up. There are 13 teams in this godforsaken, unwatchable, never turned a profit in three decade league, right? 13 teams, 12 players per team. There's 156 WNBA female basketball players, 156. 155 of them are completely irrelevant. She accounts for more than a quarter of the revenue. I don't know about you guys, but if I was being paid $76,000 a year to do Kale and Company, which I'm not, but if I was, and I brought in anywhere between $875 million and $1 billion for Odyssey Philadelphia.
Greg Stocker would retire.
Greg would say, Nick, what do we have to give you? You will give you a blank check. Here you go. And yet here's Caitlin Clark. The only reason this league is even discussed at all, and she has to deal with racism in her direction now for not one, but for 2 years. I don't care about, I'll be honest, I've never watched the WNBA. I've never watched her play. I just see what people write about. I have no interest in women's basketball.
First of all, let me just say, Brittany Griner, I'm not a fan of hers because I believe, in my opinion,
it's a man, baby.
But I don't think she said effing white girl.
What do you think she said? I have no idea for sure. But I waited until like some of the mainstream outlets started talking about it. It looks like, I don't know what else it could be.
Play it one more time.
I don't even need the audio. We could just do the visual. I just want to watch the mouth here. Effing white girl. What do you think that is?
So I'm no fan of Jemele Hill. I'm no fan of Jemele Hill.
Right.
But I think she's correct in this.
What did Jemele Hill say? I didn't even see.
She said it's an effing whack call.
Effing whack call.
Whack, you know, like.
Can you play it again?
Whack call, yeah. White girl.
Have Nick voice
okay.
it again.
Here we go. Let's see one more time if we can, Sean. Play it one more time. Effing whack call. Yeah, well.
Could be.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Good. I hope that's what she said.
I hope that's what she said, too. And at the end of the day, not a big deal. I'm going to move on from this story in 90 seconds. But I just, when you look at the history of what she's had to deal with, especially with Angel Reese in this league for the last year plus, like, come on,
this man. This is like the Zapruder film. Jeremy Burke says, see how her mouth moves? She's definitely saying girl.
Yeah. And by the way, she's had something done, I think maybe testosterone-wise or hormone-wise, estrogen-wise. Her voice has changed drastically.
It's a man, baby!
I mean, she legitimately sounds like a dude now. And she never used to sound that way when she played at Baylor, by the way. So I don't know what's going on there. None of my business.
Well, looking at it again, I believe Jeremy is correct. See, I can be convinced no matter who says it because I can make her lips say whatever the last thing I hear was.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy, you are correct. One more time, Sean.
Effing whack call. Effing
girl,
white girl.
Girl. I don't know.
I mean, it's close enough. I mean, you could go either way. I have no idea.
Effing whack girl.
Could be. But that whack girl accounts for 27%. See, here's the thing. She's the vessel that lifts all the ships.
Yep.
Everybody else is going to make more money because of her. It's the Tiger Woods effect. It's the Serena Williams effect. It's the quarterback, the first quarterback that got $50 million a year. You should never be rooting against these other people in your profession for raising the bar for what you could make. It's just poor business. It's stupid. I mean, could you imagine in 1997, here comes Tiger Woods, and every golfer on tour is like, I don't want Tiger Woods around here. He don't look like us. Now, all of a sudden, you finish 58th on the PGA Tour 1 week. You walk away with a $1 million paycheck. That's because of Tiger Woods. Same thing with Venus Williams and Serena Williams in tennis. The only reason these fringe sports get the coverage they get is because it takes a unicorn for them to get the coverage when greatness comes along. That's what Caitlin Clark is. These people are shooting themselves in the foot, but I digress. Tough job for Caitlin Clark. By the way, only making $76,000 a year to play hoops. So,
but what's she making in endorsements?
Well, yeah. She's making $28 million from Nike.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
There it is.
Right.
So she's not making 76 grand. She's making 28 million.
Yeah, base salary, 76,000. Okay. You know, right. In comes Nike to make her
Lord.
Life better. Now she's good. But now you see the salaries. These women are not
there's
making a lot of money.
There's bias in your media, Kale.
There's no doubt about it.
Uh-oh.
All right. 20 toughest jobs in America.
Yep.
I found this story to be fascinating. This was written and done. It was commissioned by Bosch Power Tools and conducted by Talker Research, where they polled 2,000 Americans, and they split this 50-50. Those that are college-educated professions, where a degree in a certain field of study is required, and then 1,000 of whom are trade workers. And they asked respondents what they believe the toughest jobs are and what comes to mind when you think of tough jobs. Now, a couple of things here. 40% of Americans employed believe that their job is hard. Okay. A majority of respondents admit that trade workers are, on average, tougher than non-trade workers. 72%. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Nobody that was doing a trade went virtual during the pandemic. If you had to cut grass, you couldn't do it on Zoom, right? Nearly half of those non-trade respondents, 49%, said they would be open to doing trade work as a career. And additionally, results found that 43% who are not currently in trade work have either done it in the past and would do it again. That is 70%. So I'm going to give you the 20 toughest jobs in America. And this is the way I looked at this little exercise. A, would I want to do it? And B, could I do it? We'll go through these.
Cop.
Can you guess the you say cop. Toughest?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if it's the toughest. It's definitely in the top five.
Cop, correct. Fifth.
Fifth.
37% of respondents. I would argue that in this day and age, in the last 5 years,
the toughest
job in America. Number one, firefighter.
Well, that's what I would, because I'm from a family of firefighters. The stuff, even though they're supposed to wear the apparatus, what they believe in, or what they breathe in, I should say, what they're breathing in, and as well, it's just a physical job.
Yep.
And, you know, in cities, they're still getting, taking in gunfire, believe it or not. They get threatened, harassed, and sometimes people shoot at them.
I believe I just saw Philadelphia is advertising for police officers.
Oh, yeah.
Its starting salary is $64,000, and you get a $12,000 signing bonus up front.
We're still down, they'll admit, to, I think it's 1,300. And every day when you look through because they're required with the drop program and everything, they're required to give advance notice of intent to retire.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers, I mean, people just can't wait until that day when they can put in for retirement. That's how bad it is.
I believe it. So firefighter number one, police officer number five. 2, 3, and 4, we have construction worker at number 2, military at 3, doctor at 4. And then we round out the top 10, EMT at 6.
Wait, hang on. So construction worker is ahead of
military. Yes, 44% said construction worker, 38% military.
No offense to the construction workers, but I think even they would admit that their job is not tougher than military.
You know, I was thinking about this, and the training, obviously, to get into the military, you have to be tough as you know what. And obviously, when you go to combat or during active duty, but I'm thinking just on the day-to-day when you're maybe just not actively deployed, might not be really monotonous and painful, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what military does when we're not at war, but I don't know. I would imagine like a firefighter just, you know, kind of hanging out, making sure the truck's washed, play some cards.
You think that's what military is doing while we're not at war?
I'm joking.
I know.
But construction workers every day, they're like, there's no easy day for construction workers, right?
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the top five.
Notice what we do is not in the top five.
It's not in the top 20, actually.
Shocking. Now I'm pulling it up, Nick.
Yeah.
When I look at it, they, military, doctor, police officer are all in that 38% zone.
Yep.
firefighter 48%, and then construction workers kind of in between 44%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're all pretty close.
None of which I would want to do or probably could do. I would be terrible at it, and I would be not enthused to be there for sure.
I think part of it, the reason, to Greg's point about military, I think part of it is they put in there, do you get compensated enough for the job or appreciated enough on the job? And so maybe that's why they put construction worker a little bit higher.
Yeah, and the answers are probably no and no, right?
Because it's like thankless, whereas at least if you're in the military, people thank you for the service, mm-hmm. and you are admired.
Yep. 6 through 10, EMT, astronaut, farmer, air traffic controller. That's been in the news a lot lately. Oil worker. Then we go from 11 to 20, nurse, roofer, electrician, home builder, engineer, pilot. They've been in the news. Teacher, lawyer, carpenter, and drywall plaster. Teacher at 17, only 14%. Way low. Teachers should be way higher up.
What?
Oh, I think teachers have it rough these days. With all of these kids, with social media, with the way these kids operate now, please. Especially post-pandemic.
Please.
Now, I get it. You get your 10 weeks off in the summer. That's a nice little perk.
No, tough.
I know we talk about these teachers with pronouns that go on TikTok. It's rare. I know we talk about teachers that sleep with their student. It seems like there's one in the news every day. It's still rare. I didn't like the way the teachers' union acted and operated during the pandemic, but I think most teachers do a really good job. Most teachers take a vested interest in their students, and most teachers, I think, are underpaid and underappreciated.
Cops, firefighters, military, construction workers.
I would have to put teacher top 10, no?
No. Tough jobs? I mean, like, come on.
In the city, some suburbs, they have it nice.
I'm not downplaying anybody's profession because God knows what we do isn't quote unquote tough.
But it's, you know what I mean? But it's a skill set.
And it's a skill set to be a teacher. All I'm saying is that, if we're doing the toughest jobs, teacher's not one of them. No.
Well, it depends on where you teach. If you're teaching in, Nazareth or Parkland up in the Lehigh Valley and you're making $120 a year with all these little goody two shoes, probably easier than if you're in the city with no air conditioning, with a school that's paying you, my numbers are always wrong, half of whatever I said.
Is being a doctor a tough job?
Well, that's the question. It's talkresearch.com, commissioned by Bosch Power Tools. So in this, the survey reveals whether or not they fit into specific categories. So they're talking about the toughest jobs, but they're saying extremely tough jobs, highly stressful, constantly making quick decisions and being stuck in stressful situations daily, or something that pushes my physical and mental limits. So it looks like they also included in this survey of thousands, they included people who do the job. So my take on this is that teachers are really humble, and they felt like, well, all these other physical, like firefighters, and military.
Yeah, good point.
The teachers themselves put others above them. Well, that's kind of my take on this, because in some of this, there's people who do these jobs.
Yeah, but you're the doctor. Well, I mean, what kind of doctor? I mean, if you're a general practitioner and you're doing physicals and checking on the reflexes of an 8-year-old, probably not that stressful. You're an open heart surgeon.
Yeah,
probably a big deal, right? I couldn't do that.
Emergency room doctor in Philadelphia?
Yes. Where people are bleeding out and the police are bringing them in.
Okay, hang on. Is that a tough job or is that a skill set? Again, I couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. But is it a tough job for somebody who can do it? People, this is a tough job for people who can't do it. I'm not comparing what we do, heart surgery or brain surgery. Yeah. But I'm saying it's a skill set, yes.
Dr. Mike's going to get mad at me, but I would say chiropractors have it pretty easy. I know they sometimes walk around a little sore because they just did 120 backs, but
chiropractors aren't doctors.
Oh, my phone's going to blow.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
They're not.
Yes,
he
they
said
are.
It.
No, they're not.
Yeah, absolutely
they're specialists.
They are. They're doctors.
They're medical professionals.
How dare you?
They go to medical school.
Oh, I could adjust your back right now.
They go 4 years undergrad. And then they go 4 years chiropractic school. Man. Chiropractor Nation, if you're out there, 855-839-1210. Give Stalker a neck adjustment with a little extra torque on it.
Lay on your back and do the thing on there. You'll be fine.
Man. They always told you that never let your brother or sister step on your back.
Yes, chiropractors are considered doctors, specifically doctors of chiropractic.
Stop.
They hold a doctor of chiropractic, a DC degree.
Yep.
And they're recognized as physician level providers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ask any doctor.
But they're not MDs.
And they're not shooting you up with big pharma stuff.
Ask any doctor if they consider a chiropractor a doctor, and they'll say no.
Well, they're not an MD, but they are a doctor of chiropractic.
There's always been the butting of the heads between the, you know, surgeons versus, you know, chiropractor, because it's, you know, holistic versus...
It's not holistic.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It's adjusting your spine.
Oh, and then stop.
And your body recalibrates itself based off of the adjustment to your cervical.
I'm not saying what they're doing is not a skill. They're just not doctors. Oh, okay.
It's so beautiful.
They're
I
not MDs. You're correct in that. But they do have a doctor of chiropractic. So
I could get adjusted every day. I'd love it.
It's a rigorous educational program, 4 years bachelor degree, and then...
Bro, I'm telling you, you put your hands over your chest like a cross.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll grab you and lift you up like that.
Yeah.
I'm doing the same thing a chiropractor does.
Let's do it.
How dare you?
Let's see.
Stalker School of Chiropractic.
All I'm saying is
YouTube.
All I'm saying is a good crack of your back is basically what chiropractors are doing.
One of my best friends is it now. She's probably texting.
Have you guys ever had the ring dinger before, where they put the towel around your neck and they?
What?
No, because I don't go to. Oh. I don't need it because. Back pain is mental.
Dawn, it's the best. You lay on your back. They put these two batons on your hips.
Yeah.
They lock your hips in. You lift your legs up. You raise your legs, and they put a towel around your neck.
Wait, does your wife do this to you?
Yes, but so she actually wants to hang me with the towel. And then they yank your neck with the towel. It's a full spinal decompression. You won't be able to move for 10 seconds. Your body feels like it's on fire.
You're just used to it. It's like an endorphin rush every time you get your... So it's basically like an addiction.
It is.
You go into the chiropractor.
The sound, the feel, the release of your gas.
Let me say it again for the people in the back row who may have not heard me. A chiropractor is not a doctor. And if you think you are, you're wrong.
And by the way, the gas, I'm not trying to be raunchy. That's what that noise is. It's called a subluxation. That's gas pockets in your body with your joints as they shift. Boom. I could be a chiropractor right now. You know what we ought to do? We ought to do a Kale and Company chiropractor tour one day.
No.
Can we get a chiropractor to advertise on this show?
I've never done that before.
How dare you?
Greg doesn't like chiropractors, but I'm a big believer.
I did not say I didn't like chiropractors.
You think they're fugazi doctors?
I did not say I did not like chiropractors. And for you, they help. I'm just saying they're not doctors. So stop treating them like
MDs,
they are.
Yes.
They're not doctors.
MDs.
Any sort of doctor.
But they hold a doctor of chiropractic degree.
That's right.
Recognized as physician.
I'm happy to endorse if you're out there, chiropractors.
I hold a broadcast specialist degree.
I hold a Marconi.
What does that have to do with anything? How dare you?
All right, Kale and Company, we will come back, get to the cut sheet here on a Tuesday. But first, a word from our friends at Piazza Mazda. And we're talking about their extensive crossover and SUV lineup, which is available today, right now, offering 1.9% financing on the capable CX-50, the three-row CX-90, and the CX-70 plug-in hybrid. The sleek Mazda CX-5 and sporty CX-30 are available at 2.9%. All for 36 months. You can shop with confidence at Piazza Mazda in Westchester or Reading, as current inventory is unaffected by the T-word, tariffs. Visit PiazzaMazda.com.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night,
pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Today.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Greg Stocker's Tuesday edition of What's on That Cut Sheet.
What's
have a take and don't suck.
On the cut sheet.
What's on the cut sheet on this Tuesday? Sponsored by Staples. How many times have we all said that was easy? Well, the Staples Easy button is back. And it's got us saying it again for custom prints, shipping services, even passport photos. Plus, quality products delivered next day to over 98% of the U.S. Staples, that was easy. Thank you, Staples, for sponsoring the ever-important Tuesday edition after a long holiday weekend edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. All right, let's start with the breaking news story of French President Emmanuel Macron reportedly being slapped in the face by his wife, Brigitte. And I say wife very loosely.
A lot of dudes today. Brittany Griner, Bridget Macron. A lot of dudes.
He was getting off of the plane in Vietnam. And it appears that his wife gave him a little slap across the face. The video shot by the Associated Press camera operator shows the French president appearing in the doorway of the plane at the start of a visit to Hanoi. His wife's hand appears to shove him, causing him to step back before recovering and waving. Sean, roll the video, please. Roll the video here. You can see this. Oh, right. Ooh. There. Yeah, there we go. Look at that.
Wow.
Right off the top.
Right there. Like, no!
Oh. Is that a two-hand shove? I see two hands there.
Was there two hands?
I see a left hand come in there. Watch this. You see? There it is.
Oh, yes. Yeah, look at Nick
Hale.
That's
two hands.
That's a two-hand shove.
Yes.
What is she doing?
I read something when this video... And when I saw it, I was like, wait a minute. Has this been doctored?
YouTube.com. Sorry.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD to see this video.
And then the Associated Press was even running with this. So I'm like, there's some legitimacy to this as far as this is not some just goofball on X, making up fake videos. Somebody labeled it as a playful yet forceful way that husbands and wives... I forget what the term was. It's some stupid thing that they've made up.
There's no playful.
Look at his face.
Yeah, I know.
You're telling me...
No, that's a flat-out shove.
That his husband, wife, was doing that in a playful manner?
No, I don't believe that. But I saw somebody trying to claim that that's what that is.
Sean, keep 31 in the hopper. But let's play that again for those of you coming over to YouTube for the first time. That is not... Look at his shocked face. Come on.
That's domestic violence.
Look at that. Yeah.
This is an abusive relationship.
It is. I agree with you.
Macron's getting pushed around by another man. Yeah.
And the thing about it is, when they met... This is like pedophilia right here. When they met, he was 15. She was a teacher at his school. She was 40. She was married with like her own teenage kids.
Gross.
And that's when they met. He was 15.
Headline from the New York Times, quote, "It's nonsense. Macron plays down the video of the shove from the wife." The Guardian, Emmanuel Macron says video of wife pushing him shows them, quote, "joking around."
Well, that's the, we have a CNN report where they said it's a moment of togetherness.
Togetherness? It looks like a moment of separation.
Roll this.
French President Emmanuel Macron's office is trying to downplay video that apparently shows his wife, Brigitte, shoving his face. The video was taken early this morning as the two were preparing to leave a plane in Vietnam, the first stop for Macron's tour of Southeast Asia. A source with the president's office dismissed the video, telling CNN it was a moment of togetherness and that the president and his wife were unwinding and playfully teasing each other.
That's what it is. Yeah, playfully teasing, I heard.
Look how big she is. She's bigger than him.
Mm-hmm. Well, most French dudes are small, right?
I hate the French.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen shoves like that. I've been on the receiving end of shoves like that.
Yeah.
That is outrageous.
Well, what's not shocking to me, after she shoved him, he waved the white flag.
Well, of course. He surrendered. That's what French men do.
He surrendered.
Right. And by the way, do we want to re-examine now? Maybe this is a reason we have some rationale behind why that little packet was on the table that he tried to cover up.
Uh-oh.
Wasn't that Macron, or was that the Italy dude?
No, it was Macron.
That was Macron. So was Macron. Everybody, is that cocaine? Is that a little powder baggie? Oh, it's a tissue.
I think it was a tissue. Maybe it was him crying after his his big A wife beat the you-know-what out of him.
Or he's taking cocaine to deal with an abusive relationship.
Jeez. Yeah.
You know?
Abuse is abuse. Domestic abuse is domestic abuse.
Yeah, even if it's...
She's a big woman.
Even if it's by a dude.
Yep.
And like she's older. So think about their relationship. You know what I mean? Like she's way older than him.
Mm-hmm.
How old is she, by the way? I think we talked about this before, right?
what did I say, 40 when she was his teacher. That's their whole relationship.
She was 40 and he was 15.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yum.
That leads to an arrest in America these days.
Yes.
As teachers.
Ew.
Right?
All right, let's stay across the pond, shall we? France is across the pond, right, Don?
Well, I think so.
I think so.
I hope they stay there, too.
I'm kidding. 29 here, Sean. So this also happened yesterday. A driver plowed through a crowd in Liverpool during some sort of parade or something. Roll this video. You can just see.
I love the way the French say the S word.
I know, right?
Oh, that's awful. That right there, so that just reminds me again of New Year's morning in New Orleans.
Yep.
Another holiday where there's a mass gathering, New Year's morning, Memorial Day. I know Memorial Day maybe not be a thing over there, but whatever that gathering is for.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
have they labeled it terrorism?
Great question. Cut 30 here, Sean. This is not being treated as terrorism.
Oh.
Roll those dummies across the pond.
The car stopped at the scene. And a 53-year-old white British man from the Liverpool area was arrested. We believe him to be the driver of the vehicle. Extensive inquiries are ongoing to establish the circumstances leading up to the collision. And it is vital that people do not speculate or spread misinformation on social media.
Yeah.
I know that people will understandably be concerned by what has happened tonight.
Yeah.
What I can tell you is that we believe this to be an isolated incident, and we are not currently looking for anyone else in relation to it. The incident is not being treated as terrorism.
Oh, okay.
We would ask that people refrain from sharing distressing footage from the incident online, and please share any information directly with our investigation team.
Well, it's either intentional or it's accidental. Did he have a heart attack? Did he have a seizure? Did he have a stroke? Did he lose control of his vehicle? Then, of course, it's not terrorism. But if none of that played out and he had a motive, I'm sorry, in my world, when you use a vehicle to mow down potentially hundreds of people, that's an act of terrorism. It's amazing. Again, just going back to what Dawn had in the news with mass shootings. When people want to call it mass shooting, when people want to call it gun violence, when people want to call it terrorism, and when they don't. Nonsense.
50 people injured, and some in critical condition. We know that 4 children are among the injured, but this was a parade that they were having out in the community in the street there. He's identified, the suspect identified as a 53-year-old white British man, and some were questioning why the details of the man's ethnicity were released so quickly.
Great question.
Mm.
Do we know the identity of the Fairmount Park shooters, Dawn?
Nope.
Okay. Just asking. Asking for a friend. Thank you very much.
Asking for the masses.
All right. It's commencement it's commencement time, right?
Not going to lie, I get emotional when I hear the graduation song.
College graduations, high school graduations. It's all happening right now.
What do they
now.
Call it? Pomp and Circumstance is the name of it?
Yeah, or the Macho Man Randy Savage's theme. President Trump delivered the commencement address at the West Point Military Academy.
Yep.
Let's start here with cut number one, Sean. Roll it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce this morning's commencement speaker, the 45th and 47th President of the United States, President Donald J. Trump.
This was Saturday, I believe, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you very much. This is a beautiful place. I've been here many times, going to high school, not so far away. A good place, also a military academy, not quite of this distinction, but it was a lot of fun for me. And I just want to say hello, cadets, and on behalf of our entire nation, let me begin by saying congratulations to the West Point class of 2025. You are winners, every single one of you.
There you go.
Kind of a little pinkish tie there.
Yeah.
A little curveball there.
Hot pink.
Yeah, we don't usually get that out of the POTUS.
Should he have been wearing that hat?
I was going to ask about the hat and the tie.
We know why he's wearing the hat, because it was a windy day.
Might be.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the tie, though. Usually he goes red, sometimes gold, and occasionally blue. Interesting selection there.
Yeah. Not sure he should have worn the hat, but I'm sure somebody's going to correct me and say, no, because it's him. It's fine.
Did he say anything of note? Did he have any jokes? Was there any good stuff in here?
Cut two. Cut three, Sean.
Dawn, have you ever given a commencement speech?
Yes.
It was fun, right? You enjoyed that?
I did. It was an honor.
I want to give a commencement speech one day. That's on my bucket list of...
Well, you'd be great.
I think it would be great. At Temple, your alma mater? I'm trying to distance myself from that institution in light of what's going on lately.
It's a great school.
But if Temple would like to have me, and they can handle me giving truth to 22-year-olds, I'll do it. But it's not going to be a puff piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just going to let people know that you're about to enter the real world, and you're going to get knocked down about 13 times. I'd be great at it. I'd have a lot of parents mad at me. But I think it would land.
Cut three here, Sean.
But under the Trump administration, those days are over. We're getting rid of the distractions, and we're focusing our military on its core mission, crushing America's adversaries, killing America's enemies, and defending our great American flag like it has never been defended before.
Okay, 12 people graduated?
The job of the U.S. Armed Forces is not to host drag shows to transform foreign cultures, but to spread democracy to everybody around the world at the point of a gun. The military's job is to dominate any foe and annihilate any threat to America anywhere, anytime, and any place.
By the way, very low energy clapping.
Yeah, very low, although I give those cadets a ton of credit. And it's smart, too. The fact that you go there, you get your schooling taken care of by serving and come out of school debt-free, you got some discipline, you do your service to the military. It's actually a really smart route, as opposed to some of these people that go to school and walk out of college with 150 grand in debt.
Yeah.
Kudos to them. I don't know what branch I would do. If I had the chance to serve, what branch would I do? I don't know. I have to think about that.
Well, the number one branch that has, the only one that has not had recruitment problems,
Marines,
U.S.
Right.
Marines. Yeah. Yeah. In this one, some are calling it bizarre, especially with his trophy wife remarks.
Yeah.
His what?
I didn't pull that, but he was talking about millionaires with trophy wives and yachts and stuff.
There were some, the vast majority of the speech was, as you would expect, talking about heroism and thanking the military for their service. But there were some, obviously, off-prompter moments or ad-libs or what have you.
Shocking.
Where he talked about he said, avoid a trophy wife, you'll end up getting a divorce.
That's right. Marry a social worker, you're set for life.
Kind of interesting that was added in there. I have no idea.
Was it like a cringe moment?
It's kind of like an off-the-cuff thing.
Oh, boy.
And then it was like...
Morning Joe are probably breaking down the film all morning this morning. What did he mean by that, Mika? I did not know that.
I don't know. And then, I don't know. I don't know what that was, but the majority of the speech was well received.
Okay.
And just lauding the cadets for choosing service.
Sure.
A life of honor and service, yeah, and very respectful. And he touted this golden age of the U.S. military.
Well, the numbers are coming back, by the way. It's not just the Marines now.
It's amazing.
The rest of the branches are starting to really trend in the right direction. I think it started late last year.
Said, in a few moments, you'll become graduates of the most elite and storied military academy in human history. you know, but the media, yes, is going to hone in on some moments of ad libs like the trophy wife thing.
He also talked about cutting many things, but not touching the $1 trillion military budget. So Doge, keep your hands off the military.
Okay.
Cut two, Phil. Or Sean, sorry, roll it.
All the victories that you've had together on these grounds will soon pale in comparison to the momentous deeds that you'll perform on the mission you're accepting today. And as a future leader of America's army, and we have that army geared up, we have ordered, you know, we just went $1 trillion military budget, General. Do you know that? $1 trillion. Some people say, could you cut it back? I said, I'm not cutting 10 cents. There's another thing we can cut. We can cut plenty of others. Right, Dan? We can cut plenty of other things. And you have a good man in Dan, too, General. I think you're going to find that. It's a very different warfare out there today. Now they've introduced a thing called drone. A drone is a little bit different. It makes you have to go back and learn a whole new form of warfare. And you're going to do it better than anybody else. There won't be anybody close. Generation.
So it's somewhat confounding and confusing, also frustrating, but I don't know the context. So he's talking about, obviously, the military budget. He's anti-war. He's a peace guy. I actually think one of the reasons why the deep state wants him dead is he's anti-war, and that's bad for business. But what is the reason behind the $1 trillion? Is it to bring the military back to the levels it was at before he left? Because we saw what happened after he left and Biden took over. Is it for this, you know, the quote, golden dome or any of this defense technology with the new modern technology of which our adversaries likely will use one of those methods to attack us? Or is it because we're getting set for war with a foreign nation? I don't know. Did you guys see the Truth post on? I don't know if you saw this. Trump posted on Truth over the weekend about how he's totally befuddled by what's happened to Putin. He has no idea what's happened to him, and he's going absolutely crazy. Did you see that post?
Yes.
He's not happy with that guy.
And then Putin responded, or Russia, a Russian spokesperson responded and said Trump is maybe stressed out or having mental anguish or something.
I think he's getting sick of the whole situation,
so,
right?
We'll get to another two other commencement speaks in one speeches in 1 second, but this is what Don was discussing, his trophy wife's comment in the commencement speech.
Hey, a trophy wife. It didn't work out too well, but it doesn't. And that doesn't work out too well, I must tell you. A lot of trophy wives doesn't work out. But it made him happy for a little while, at least. But he found a new wife. He sold his little boat and he got a big yacht. He had one of the biggest yachts anywhere in the world. He moved for a time to Monte Carlo and he led the good life. And time went by and he got bored. And 15 years later, the company that he sold to called him and they said, the housing business is not for us. You have to understand, when Bill Levitt was hot, when he had momentum, he'd go to the job sites every night. He'd pick up every loose nail. He'd pick up every scrap of wood.
Oh, God.
If there was a bolt or a screw laying in the ground, he'd pick it up and he'd use it the next day in putting together a house.
Who was he talking about, Don?
William Levitt. You know, he was a...
The jazz guitarist.
No. No, he was a real estate tycoon, kind of built like Levittowns, where he would... He was very successful in building these...
Also had a trophy wives.
But not Levittown,
building
PA.
These...
No,
you know,
Levittown.
Major developments that
Long
we
Island.
Now... Like Toll House Brothers, like nowadays.
Yep.
But he was the one who started that, building huge developments and... a housing boom and that sort of thing.
And the point of this was what?
I don't know.
At acquiring all the assets possible and hot wives doesn't lead to happiness? I
sure.
What does that mean? I mean, I am ready for a trophy wife and lots of money.
And so, your wife is a beautiful trophy wife. Your beautiful wife,
no,
nearly
here we
17
go.
Years.
Here we go.
Some would say I'm a trophy husband.
And maybe
nobody would say that. Nobody would say that. I've
seen the chat.
She's not only a trophy wife; she's a saint.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to Wake Forest University. Where
trying to help you out here.
Thank you, Don.
They had West Point had Trump. Wake Forest had Scott Pelley. From CBS 60 Minutes.
Oh.
He talked about how in the moment this morning, our sacred rule of law is under attack. I guess all the pretense of him being an unbiased journalist, I guess, are out the window now.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
does he still work for CBS?
Well, yeah.
Does he?
Yeah,
okay.
He's one of the rotating guys. Him, Anderson Cooper, was Whitaker. Who else is on there?
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Leslie Stahl.
Scott Pelley at Wake Forest University. Roll this.
Good God.
But in this moment, this morning.
This moment.
Our sacred rule of law is under attack. Journalism is under attack. Universities are under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. And insidious fear is reaching through our schools, our businesses, our homes, and into our private thoughts.
I think I would rather have the trophy wives discussion.
Mom, I didn't want to come to this.
In America. Power can rewrite history with grotesque, false narratives. They can make criminals heroes. And heroes, criminals. Power can change the definition of the words we use to describe reality. Diversity is now described as illegal. Equity is to be shunned.
Yeah. Give me the eye.
Inclusion is a dirty word.
Wow.
This is an old playbook, my friends. There's nothing new in this.
Well, that explains why Wake Forest, their football and basketball programs have gone to crap. Their talent assessment. Scott Pelley, not the best. Yeah, you want to talk about the media and journalism under attack? Let's talk about 60 Minutes, Scott. Let's talk about CBS. Let's talk about your CEO who resigned because CBS and Paramount are going to have to fork over millions to Trump. Let's talk about CNN and all their nonsense. And then you want to talk about free speech? We have to go back to Facebook and the Biden administration pressuring social media to stifle opposing viewpoints on things like COVID shots. Really? They are so, I don't know how you ever did it. You did it, what, weekends on CBS nationally?
Yes, CBS News Saturday morning.
How did you ever do it? How did you ever surround yourself with people of the ilk of Scott Pelley?
No,
I couldn't do it.
Here's the thing, and I did, and I filled in a lot for Jean Robolo, if you guys remember. She was here on when NBC 10 before the switch, so I filled in the morning news.
Mm-hmm.
It was an honor. It was, here's the thing, I was a registered independent. I believed in that. And so there are a lot of people in all of these news organizations who still are registered independents. And the reason I did that, I was a conservative, I was a closet conservative, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But they do that because they don't want anybody to know their politics, nor do they want their reporting to be such. I think with somebody like Scott Pelley, he gave this great speech that I used to play when I taught journalism school as an adjunct, where he said, we're too busy trying to race to be first rather than make sure that you get the story right. And that was a wonderful speech that he gave. So now this angry Scott Pelley, this is something new because he used to talk about being, you know, an independent journalist, about making sure that you put truth before anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think a piece of this, to be very honest, they're living in this bubble, but they're all angry because the heyday is over. The multi-million dollar contracts are over, and they've been exposed as they're not trusted anymore.
So,
do you know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this as somebody that's worked in that line for I mean, you were a TV news anchor and reporter locally and nationally, but just let's go to the national level when you were doing the weekend stuff. And I get it. It's different now in the Trump era of politics. But as a closet conservative, as you are reporting news on CBS on a Saturday morning, perhaps news and headlines and the way it was positioned that you disagreed with, did you feel like you were delivering, quote, fake news? I know fake news wasn't a thing back then, but it was mainstream media, corporate sponsors. Was that tough for you to present something that maybe you disagreed with, but you had to squash it because that was your job?
No, I think that, you know, a piece of this is that there's bias by omission. It's what they choose to report or not to report. So, you know, back in the, you know, John McCain was on the show. You know what I mean? We spoke to presidents, post-presidents, those running for that sort of thing. So it's more just, I think, in that regard, it's might seem subtle. I would say local news is less so, because in local news, you're covering breaking news on a daily basis. And so that becomes very different, because you're interviewing, you know, you're covering things like I've been covering this morning as mm-hmm. far as the Fairmount shooting,
right.
That sort of thing. And so, you know, I think that the truth of it is that our eyes have been open to what has happened to the media over the years. So I've been here, 10 years at this point?
Mm-hmm.
In this decade, what we've seen is really Donald J. Trump was able to expose what was going on,
mm-hmm.
the bias in the media. I think that's a huge part of it. I would disagree with Scott Pelley. I would say that this is a revolution. It's not only a technological revolution, it's a revolution in journalism. And so what we're seeing, all these independent journalists coming out, and think about it, we don't necessarily know all of their politics. These are investigative journalists who are revealing to us what's really going on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the CBSs of the world, you know, when we look at what happened at CBS, while they oppressed certain facts, they raised and highlighted others. Why did they do that?
And also, to the point of the independent journalists, the Schellenbergers, the Barry Weisses of the world, there's the other one I'm forgetting about right now. There's three of them. Some of them used to work at the New York Times, used to work for mainstream outlets, and they're not conservative either.
Mm-mm.
They're just basically lifting the curtain back and showing you all this propaganda that's being put out there, which is fascinating.
One more commencement speeches. University of Maryland took the cake with their commencement speaker. Cut eight.
It's Kermit. It's the best he's ever sounded. Hi-ho, everybody!
Doesn't sound anything like Kermit used to. I'm not sure.
Hello! I mean, wow, look at this crowd! Look at all these graduation caps with their decorations. Wow. Wow.
Transition?
What a thrill it is to be back here at the University of Maryland and celebrate the class of 2025.
Who'd rather have Scott Pelley or Kermit the Frog?
And don't forget the summer class of 2024. And the winter class of 2024. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I leave anybody out?
Aww.
No. Great. Good. You are all here. You're all here to listen to a frog in a very tiny cap and gown give a commencement speech on, well, what's actually turned out to be a pretty beautiful evening. Yeah.
There you go. Well, Kermit the Frog.
The budget in College Park, Maryland got real tight, huh?
Remember Jim Henson, the late, great Jim Henson, who died, you know, tragically.
Muppet Babies, right?
So he graduated from University of Maryland.
Ah.
So that's why they paid him tribute.
All right. So we have Trump, Scott Pelley, and Kermit.
Wait. You know Jim Henson from the Muppet Babies?
Well, that's the tie-in, right?
The Muppet Babies? Well,
the Muppets. The original Muppets was Jim Henson. Not Muppet Babies.
Oh, okay. Well, I got the name wrong. The Muppets. I know what it is.
Well, the Muppet Babies were...
It was a spin-off cartoon in the 80s.
Yeah, well, how old was the original Muppet?
In the 70s.
All right, so I was off by a decade. That's not bad by my standards.
Oh, my God. Muppet Babies. Everything Nick Cale learned was on Saturday morning cartoons.
That's right.
I think the journalist that Nick and I, like I was trying to think, Matt Taibbi.
Taibbi, that's the third
one. Who testified in 2023.
Yep.
And then at the same time, the IRS.
Showed up at his house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Matt Taibbi.
Random visit.
Yeah. If you've read, you know, we've read his books, obviously, certainly not a Republican, but an independent investigative journalist. And I think that's the model moving forward that we're going to see. And so, you know, look at all the people Larry and I were talking about over the weekend, like Lester Holt, all of these anchor people who made $10 and $20 million a year. Those days are over. And so the networks, as we know them, it's an adjustment, an in-flight adjustment of journalism because of the loss of respect and trust by the American people in our institutions, including journalism.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be something. This is... All right.
Did Miss Piggy give a speech too?
Head on over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. By the way, if you're there, please hit the like button. Only 128 likes, and you know I need to get over 200 or my ADD kicks in. So please get on over there, hit the like button, and hit the subscribe button, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. This is Cut 5, Sean. So we always speak about female police officers. Two female officers struggle to take down a man.
By the way, Fight Club coming up later today.
Yes, thank you very much. And then two male officers have to jump in and help these female officers take this man down.
That's how it usually is in real life.
Hat tip to, I think Road Warrior sent us this. This didn't make Fight Club, but it definitely made the cut sheet. Roll this. There we go. Yep. Yeah.
There's the produce.
Yep.
Watermelons, looks like lemons by the door.
Look at those two women those two officers trying to take him down, and they can't.
Uh-huh.
They can't do it.
Nope.
I'm sorry. Like, this is.
Look at this. Get over here, sir, or I will pull out a zip tie.
And then you see two. There we go. Uh-huh. There's the two male officers come in, and down he goes.
Well, those male officers aren't that imposing either, to be honest.
But
it's taking how many? Four officers?
Four officers.
Now, are these police
down.
Officers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. Yeah,
there goes all the produce. You ever notice it's always by the produce? All these things break out near the produce.
Yeah.
Never the frozen foods, never the butcher case, but it's always by the produce.
Dawn, help me out here because I'm not trying to sound sexist mm-hmm. here. But, you know, those female officers were clearly struggling to take that man down,
yeah,
right?
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. They had to call in male officers to help.
It's not sexist. It's biology.
Yeah.
It's these people, oh, you're sexist. No, but the females are not capable, by and large, of doing what most males are. Although in that video, I would argue, I don't know that those males are more of an upgrade. It's just strength in numbers. It's 4-on-1 now.
Yeah, but Nick, as soon as that one officer laid a hand on him, he grabbed him by the back of the neck and... Mm-hmm. Took him down.
Yeah, you just put your foot out, you do the old trip over thing and throw him down with your leg out and get him all off balance, and then you cuff him.
Yeah.
You know, to your point, it's part of this is even in movies nowadays, they'll show a woman who's like 5'2", she's probably 106 pounds soaking wet, in some gown with high heels, but she takes down all of these men, you know, and, you know, she's armed and she has knives and she's like... fighting MMA, whatever, and it's just like you roll your eyes
mm-hmm.
because look, women are strong. We can do things that men could never do,
especially if their child
celebrate us
if their child is involved.
Right?
You know, women can lift cars if their child is trapped underneath them.
My Seriously. Wife is very strong. I can't tell you how many times I say, "Honey, open this pickle jar." Damn thing.
And we can do
open.
Things like, you know, give birth and breastfeed and. We're wired a different way. We have all these great strengths,
mm-hmm.
but what's wrong with just celebrating each other for our strengths and who we are? That's cool to me. If this goes to the point of sports as well, let's just be honest. Men are born, the vast majority of men are born with way more muscle mass. That's a reality.
Yeah.
It's physiology. It's science. And so we try to defy it. In our society, and we just have to stop.
Well, let's stay with police for a moment. Mm-hmm. So you have female officers, and you say, okay, if you're the chief of police, if I was running the Philadelphia Police Department, all right, I don't want any females just to be relegated to, quote, desk jobs or handing out parking tickets. I've got some females, they want to be out there with the boys, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, if you can... pass all of the physical fitness tests. We're not going to lower the bar, but if you can meet the bar, you're in. But don't you also think, now these two females here are probably routine patrol officers, right? They're not narcotics detectives or sergeants or lieutenants. Do you think there's any restriction where it would not be sexist, but merely biology, where you're not going to put a female in like a tactical gang unit? Remember the Scorpions that we talked about, the Memphis police officers that ultimately took the life of Tyree Nichols, that story we covered.
Yeah.
Some of those police officers, like in a unit like that, have to be certified badasses. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just no chance.
Because they're in a war zone.
There's no chance a female is going to be in an elite unit like that unless she's just a rare blend of female biology on steroids, right? Like, unless she's just a certified... And occasionally you have some of these girls. Have you guys seen... you guys remember the UFC champion Brock Lesnar?
Sure.
His daughter is in the shot put for high school, high school track and field. She is about, 6'1", 220.
Yeah.
She looks like she could play linebacker for, Westchester University, a Division II college football team. I'd have no problem with her in, like, a special narcotics unit. But most females, like we see here in that video where they couldn't get down that guy outside of the produce stand, you got to stay in that role. That's probably the ceiling for you, right?
And I'm going to say this, what Dawn said about giving birth, women have that strength. And this is evident by this pregnant news anchor who completes a three-hour broadcast in New York while in labor after her water broke.
Oh,
so
no.
Her water broke, and she goes on the air at WRGB News, Channel 6, a CBS affiliate, and she completes the broadcast and then gives birth. Roll this.
Good Wednesday morning. I'm Olivia Jaquith.
And I'm Julia Dunn. We do have some breaking news this morning. Literally.
Yes.
Olivia's water has broke.
That's right.
And she is anchoring the news now in active labor.
Early labor.
We've been doing the contract. She's now, timing her contractions.
We'll see. I'm going to pay attention.
What, 2 minutes apart?
No. There was one, but it's been a few minutes since then, so we're still in good shape.
Her decision to stay on the desk,
by the way. Look at what it says. Days past due date.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I know. So we're thinking
Happy to be here, I'll stay on the desk for as long as I possibly.
Her water broke an hour and 45 minutes ago. Look in the top left corner.
Yep.
Her water broke at 4:15 a.m., and it's 6 o'clock.
Yep.
And she's still there.
Yep.
She's downplaying it. What a soldier. What a trooper.
That's what I'm saying.
What
hero. I'm not sexist. I'm just saying that women and men are built differently. If this was a guy, we'd be like, oh, my God, please take me to the hospital now.
I get a hangnail on the show. I'm going on the shelf for a week.
I know. It's true.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. If men had to give birth out of their orifice, an 8-pound object, we would see surrogates. Oh, man, that would test tube babies,
So what do we know what market this is?
I have no idea. It's New York somewhere. I'm guessing like maybe upstate New York.
I mean, she is tough as hell, no doubt about it. But two things can be true at the same time, right?
Yeah.
It's probably a low, small market, and they didn't have a backup anchor.
I'm sure Blondie over there could have
Blondie
could have hosted it for her, no? I mean, do you really need two news anchors?
Oh,
I mean,
look at you. You're trying to doge the industry.
What's amazing to me, because I didn't see this. You guys sent it on the, Greg, you sent it on your cut sheet, right?
Yeah.
But Olivia Jaquith is her name. This is, she and her husband, this is their first child. So I thought, all right, this is her.
Like third.
Like, yeah.
Yes.
She's
that's
like
what I
laid
thought
back
too.
About it.
Yep.
But that's the first baby. I will say with Michael, my water started breaking. I anchored the Fox 10 o'clock news that night, went home. It broke like right when I got, I was like, something's going on. But I didn't realize it was my water breaking. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She realizes it to Nick's point. It's like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And she's cool as a cucumber.
Well, and then she yelled this.
We started 6 a.m.
But smart, man, I imagine if she has a brand manager like Greg Stocker, they're like, yes, because you could not stop watching that broadcast if you're a local viewer.
She said, and we don't have to play the rest, Sean, but she did say that I'm happy to be here and I'll stay on the desk for as long as I possibly can. But if I disappear, you know what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. What a cutie pie.
Yep. There you go. So again, women trying to take down a huge male suspect as police officers, maybe not the best, but women, powering through while their water breaks.
Yes.
Amazing.
What exactly is that like, Stensland? Can you walk us through the water break?
No, well, please
don't.
And not at 8:32 in the morning.
Everybody's had their breakfast. They've
digested it.
When
it's your first baby, you really don't realize it. But her water, Julia's water, broke 4:15 in the morning. And so then finally off air, and they had all kinds of pictures. She and her husband, first baby. They had a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
But, here's an example of when you talked about biased media, nice local story celebrating mommy, daddy, baby. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
Family, faith, all that stuff. So I think that's an example of why local news just tends to not be as politicized or, let's say, progressive or anything of that. They're not calling her a pregnant person. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't do that in Buffalo, New York.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, pregnant person, talk to us about Marvin E. Cans, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, well, my friends at Marvin E. Cans, yeah, and they celebrate family and faith, and they're local, great local company. You've heard me talk about my friends from Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. I just had that Mitsubishi electric heating and air conditioning unit. It's called a mini split unit installed at our lower level with that poor ventilation, poor level of really no ductwork down there. So this ductless unit from Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Air Conditioning has been a true game changer for us. Larry and I share that office in the lower level, and it's a studio. Cameras, audio, you need a temperature-controlled, non-humid environment. So I will hope that you consider a mini-split for your hard-to-reach areas. Visit Marvin E. Cans. That's Marvin E. KANZE.com. And obviously, they're a military veteran-founded company, so I know that for them, Memorial Day yesterday, huge, huge commemoration for them. Marvin E. Cans, Marvin E., KANZE.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Trump saying that he is not happy with Putin. This was a brief press conference outside of Bedminster there on Sunday night. Roll this.
Russia and Ukraine as well.
Yeah, I'll give you an update. I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all, okay? We're in the middle of talking, and he's shooting rockets into Kiev and other cities. I don't like it at all.
President, what do you want to do about
that? I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. We'll see what we're going to do. What am I going to tell you? You're the fake news, aren't you? You're totally fake. Any other questions? I don't like what Putin is doing, not even a little bit. He's killing people. And something happened to this guy, and I don't like it.
You have never heard him say that emphatically that he does not like what Vladimir Putin is doing. We've heard for years and years and years, Russia, 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 Trump and Putin, blah, 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 blah. He said last night on Truth, and a lot of this is almost verbatim for what you just heard. I've always had a very good relationship with Vladimir Putin of Russia, but something has happened to him. He's gone absolutely crazy. He is needlessly killing a lot of people, and I'm not just talking about soldiers. Missiles and drones are being shot into cities in Ukraine for no reason whatsoever. I've always said that he wants all of Ukraine, not just a piece of it, and maybe that's proving to be right, but if he does, it will lead to the downfall of Russia. Likewise, President Zelensky is doing his country no favors by talking the way he does. Everything out of his mouth causes a problem. I don't like it, and it better stop. This is a war that would have never started if I were president. This is Zelensky, Putin, and Biden's war, not Trump's. I am only helping to put out the big and ugly fires that have been started through gross incompetence and hatred. How about that?
And the comment this morning from the Kremlin, the reply is, quote, "We are really grateful to the Americans and to President Trump personally for their assistance in organizing and launching this negotiation process. Of course, at the same time, this is a very crucial moment, which is associated, of course, with the emotional overload of everyone, absolutely, and with emotional reactions."
Wow.
So that was their carefully worded, it was from the Putin spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov, that we quote all the time. So alluding to the fact that President Trump is, quote, emotional.
I said my prediction was the end of the spring, June 20th, ceasefire, Russia, Ukraine. I got about 23 days left. I think I'm going to be wrong, folks. Might have to take the L on this one.
By the way, coming up, Fight Club, the Tuesday edition of Fight Club. We will have that coming up. So make sure you, when you get to your office or wherever you're headed, make sure you turn on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. Please hit the like and subscribe buttons.
By the way, a lot of people have been contributing to this.
I know.
Captain Kirk, one of our part-time producers.
Yeah, I'm using
everybody
his.
Wants in.
I'm Woo-hoo. Using.
Oh, you are.
I'm using Captain Kirk's today.
Okay.
Yeah. We need to stockpile because we need to keep doing this because the great folks at Tri-County Auto Group have ponied up and they say we know fights equal ratings.
That's right.
And we want to be involved. So thank you, Tri-County Auto Group, for sponsoring Fight Club coming up before the cut sheet is over. Cut 20 here. The big hubbub over the weekend was the foreign students at Harvard.
Well, this is a war between Harvard and Trump.
Yeah.
This is getting ugly.
Mm-hmm. Roll cut 20.
On Harvard, do you think you'll come for their endowment in any way or go after financial aid?
Well, look, part of the problem with Harvard is that there are about 31%, almost 31% of foreigners coming to Harvard. We give them billions of dollars, which is ridiculous. We do grants, which we're probably not going to be doing much grants anymore to Harvard. But they're 31%, but they refuse to tell us who the people are. We want to know who the people. Now, a lot of the foreign students we wouldn't have a problem with. I'm not going to have a problem with foreign students, but it shouldn't be 31%. It's too much because we have Americans that want to go there and to other places, and they can't go there because you have 31% foreign. Now, no foreign government contributes money to Harvard. We do. So why are they doing so many? Number one. Number two, we want a list of those foreign students, and we'll find out whether or not they're okay. Many will be okay, I assume. And I assume with Harvard, many will be bad. And then the other thing is they're very anti-Semitic. Everybody knows they're anti-Semitic, and that's got to stop immediately.
Well, that's what this is about, and rightfully so. Look, I don't want to get into the whole endowment thing on Harvard, what they have on an annual basis already, then on top of the fact that the government provides them money. But 31% foreign, I don't have an issue with that. But of that 31%, actually, forget the foreign students. How many American students are anti-Semitic at Harvard? Much less the foreign ones. And Dawn, you've talked about this before when we've had these conversations. It's a privilege to come to this country on a student visa,
yes,
and attend one of our universities. You're not going to come here with that anti-Semitic hatred and get away with that. I hope he puts Harvard through hell and back because that institution has been getting away with way too much for way too long. Forget the finances, but just all of this nonsense of, well, it doesn't infringe upon. Like, there's a difference between free speech and hate speech. And these little Ivy League woke think tanks where it just bubbles up. And then on top of it, we talked about this locally, Swarthmore, Haverford, the other schools that we've been covering. A lot of these protesters that are anti-Semitic, they're not even students. They just show up on campus, yeah, with no right to be there on private grounds, by the way. Swarthmore, perfect example. That's a private school. I can't just walk on there and start protesting. It's trespassing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, part of it is, With these universities, we were told that we want to attract the best and the brightest. That's what we've always been told. And so then there was the lawsuit with Asian students from America, you know, American Asians, mm-hmm, who they proved that they were discriminated against.
Yep.
And so if they're discriminating against Asian Americans that yes, get into Harvard, they're brilliant, the brightest in America, and they're not letting them in, but at the same time 31% of these quote-unquote foreign students, then what's the criteria? Where are these students from, and what, like, why are they choosing them?
That's
and
why
discriminating that, yeah, against,
and that's why DEI is such a load of crap, and it's illegal, right? This is not, everybody thinks DEI is just about like people that are African American. Look at the perfect example you're talking about with the Asian American kid, right? This kid who, by the way, I think has 15 lawsuits out, was rejected from all of these high-end schools, yeah, Stanford, UC Berkeley, all the Ivy Leagues of the West Coast. He got a job at Google. He's not going to be in debt. He's actually going to make out really well with this in the end. But to be denied the opportunity when your merit proves you're worthy of admission to a school. And I know we sit here and we talk about colleges and the debt, but when you're 18, you're not really overly worried about your debt. It's kind of like a bucket list. I want to go to college. This is the school I would love to attend. And I have every academic transcript that says I am as good as anybody to be in there. And then they admit somebody from the Middle East. or from a foreign-born Asian kid over an American kid, to me, at the end of the day, it's the best get in. Now, if the foreign person has the better resume, if you will, grade point average, extracurriculars, SAT, you name it, I'm good with that. But I'm not good with checking off a box so we can say, well, we have a great representation. Look at the sample here. No, admit the best people. That's the way the real world works.
And so should we start saying to all students when you apply, don't put your gender. If you're a white male, for example, put that your ethnicity is unknown.
I've said that on the show, yes. Right? Blind resume. No gender, no sexual orientation, no name.
Or
just give me all your stats.
Or what if everybody puts another ethnicity and LGBTQ plus? So do they have a better chance of getting into a hard to get in school? I mean,
probably.
I don't have the answer to this. I'm saying that, you know, after that Supreme Court ruling that happened, they say that they're having more transparency.
Uh-huh.
But I think the issue here is have total transparency on your admissions.
Yep.
Right before
if you want government money, excuse me.
Correct. Or no, if not, no federal funding then.
Right before we went on the long weekend for Memorial Day, we were talking about the two Israeli embassy employees who were gunned down by that lunatic. If you think that there wasn't abhorrent TikTok posts over the weekend congratulating them and justifying what they did, you guys would be wrong, because there was. But first, let's ask Representative Ilhan Omar to condemn the D.C. killing of the Israeli diplomat and his girlfriend and see how she takes a very strong stance on this. Roll this.
Congresswoman Omar,
can I
get your reaction to the shooting that happened in D.C. last night?
I'm going to go for now, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
She's the one who married her. She's the one who married her brother, correct?
Allegedly.
Allegedly married her brother?
Yeah.
I think that's actually true, but we'll use allegedly. She is probably the most detestable squad Democrat. Jayapal, like, there's a little bit of a heart and soul to. She is just downright, and I don't mean ugly from a physical appearance standpoint. I mean just like an ugly human being, just rotten. Like, what
is it that?
What is she even doing here?
Is it that hard for her to say awful? It's
yes.
an awful thing.
Yes, it is. It is that hard because she's pro Gaza.
I know.
She's a total madman. She's a total maniac.
But think about this. This is an elected official when you had these beautiful young people in their 20s, gunned down. We hear the details of them. Sarah, who's from Kansas, as this gunman is anti-Jewish hater, is standing over them, and she's trying to crawl away as she's shot multiple times.
Oh, God.
And the gunman continues to just fire into her body. I mean, it's unthinkable, this heinous crime. And for an elected official to act in such a flippant, apathetic manner is not acceptable. And why don't they censure her? Why don't her fellow Congress members make a motion against her? I mean, it's just sick.
Yep.
She is from, I don't know what they're doing in the state of Minnesota. She is from Minnesota's 5th Congressional District. I'm going to look up the demographics of that district. I'm guessing it's a high Muslim district, and my guess is, if that's true, I'll make the statement. I don't know that Ilhan Omar could get elected in any other district other than maybe Dearborn, Michigan.
I agree. But they keep electing her, don't they?
But that's the thing. Same thing with Larry Krasner.
Yep.
We talk about it. All you have to do is appeal to your district, your county, your jurisdiction. If they like you enough in that little bubble that you live in, you live on forever.
All right, so I'm going to play because this lunatic, I don't want to give this person any more airtime than he's worth, but I think it's important to play this crap because this person releases this 9-minute rant about how every single Israeli embassy staffer should be hunted down. And when you think, oh, wow, is this kid a Muslim or is it no, he's a white guy with blue eyes and curly hair.
Shocking.
And he has one of those scarf things around it. Like, this person should be on a list. He should be all right. Let's just roll a little bit of this.
I take it back. I do not condemn the elimination of those two Zionist officials who worked at the Israeli embassy last night. And here's why.
Look at this.
Israel has live streamed a genocide to the entire world for the last 2 years, and I could talk to you for days about all the crimes, all the atrocities I reported on. And when I'm finished, you would still not know 1% of the Palestinian suffering. And you cannot expect to do such a thing in this world without the people standing up to fight to stop you in any way they can, to resist against you. And that is exactly what happened. Do not let yourself be fooled by the media, by the Zionists in this country who are telling you that this was an anti-Semitic terrorist attack. It was not. First of all, the man who was assassinated was a Christian Zionist, proclaiming it so on his social media. He spent his days working at the Israeli embassy, fighting to maintain Israel's genocide and support for that genocide in this country. He is a war criminal. And the same was true for the woman. This was not because they were Jewish. It was because they were Zionist. And a manifesto from the suspect in custody, Elias Rodriguez, who apparently, if we are to believe this is true, he is part of the movement and he has consistently posted about Palestine. He targeted these two because of the connection to the state of Israel, because they are Zionists, not because they are Jews.
I'm about to read.
You think that kid's parents are proud of him?
Oh, God. Look at the flags in the background,
I know. Probably another wealthy, entitled, white suburban punk who's all woke in his feelings. Here's the deal. I always say, America's a free country. You're able to come, and obviously, as we've, you're obviously able to leave. Rosie O'Donnell left, right? And you're able to come here, right? 15 million people came here illegally in the last 4 years. So what I would say to any of these people that are pro-Gaza, pro-Palestine, mobilize the intifada and all your stupid verbiage, go. Please go. Just leave. Go over there and see what it's like.
It's unbelievable.
You'll be begging to come home.
But think about this guy justifying the cold-blooded killing of these two individuals.
Well, Nick's right. I mean, he's locked in his parents' basement, some wealthy suburb.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a care in the world and is talking about, God. Yeah.
It's gross.
It is gross. Because of FCC, I can't say what I really want to say. But yeah. I think everybody who knows me knows exactly what I want to happen to that.
But, by the way, I've got some stats on Ilhan Omar's district. 16% of the district's residents come from Somalia, Ethiopia, Laos, Ecuador, and Liberia. I'd be willing to bet that's a significant Muslim population, which, by the way, it is the largest district in the state of Minnesota for immigrant communities. Ilhan Omar, another disgusting human.
One more on this. This was a witness. This person witnessed the Israeli embassy officials being murdered, and then went on to CNN, where they tried to, I don't want to say justify it, but they tried to spin this, and this guy was having none of it. Roll this.
As you go forward, with what you have seen, can you give us any sense, because you said you looked the shooter in the eyes, can you give us any sense of what you saw in him as he was sort of getting help and people were tending to him as if he too was a victim of seeing this?
Yeah, well, to be clear, I heard about that part because we were in a secure room when he initially walked in. I just saw him screaming and then being handcuffed. But what I saw in his eyes, I mean, I went to Columbia for grad school and I saw the same thing in his eyes as I saw in the eyes of all the protesters at Columbia. Nothing different between him and them.
But they did not create this horrific shooting. They did not,
What?
They didn't shoot.
What they created, they gave permission.
Yeah. What a stupid idiot she is.
And they have called for this. They have called for Intifada revolution, which is the same thing he yelled last night.
Yes. Yes.
Do you worry that there will be a conflation, though, of the two, those people who are speaking their minds, really care about what is happening in Gaza, and those people who are like this person who did this horrific shooting who intend to do harm?
intended.
A conflation. I mean, they're calling for intifada. At Columbia University, they call for intifada constantly. Not, they're not quietly. They're loud.
Yeah.
They're loud. You can hear it. They make recordings of themselves. So what's the difference?
Are you afraid?
Yes.
What
we're all
do
afraid. Everyone should be afraid.
Pause it. Pause it. Jonathan Epstein there on the right, if he was transgender, do you think CNN would be no. interviewing him the way they are?
No. Nope.
No. So I don't understand what else these morons on these networks need to know about intifada, globalize the intifada, kill the Boer. How many times do we have to go through it on what the actual meaning behind it is? Right? We're not talking about 8647 James Comey, right? Okay? We're like... The intifada, for all of you collegiate morons out there that chant this, exactly what you saw at that museum with two innocent people being killed, that is globalizing the intifada put into practice in real life, right there for you to witness. And you protest on behalf of that. I'll tell you what, it is amazing. I'm actually grateful that I don't have boys, because if I would have sent boys to college and they were walking around waving the Palestinian flag, I don't care if they were at Stanford, Columbia, UT, Austin, wherever, I wouldn't even get on a flight. I'd say, Kristen, I'm getting in the car and I'm driving and I'm going to go there and I'm going to drag my kids off the campus with my fingers up their nostrils. You losers. You know, all this diversity and everybody's feelings, and we're all, everything that they preach to you for 8 years now, BS. Well, Trump's Hitler. The Jews are evil. Kill the white farmers. Frauds and hypocrites.
How about the CNN anchor, though? What a dummy she
That's
is.
Why
what
she,
a, what well, a hideous, hideous human.
How many
hideous. Humans?
I can't imagine that there's an American that says, I got to watch her every day.
I'm like, he did a good job, but like, thank God I wasn't there. I would have been like, F you, you cow.
Feel bad for him, though. His last name is Epstein.
Fight Club coming up next.
Hey!
Fight Club coming up next. Get on over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. And yes, Greg in Exile Jersey told me that he works on a construction site, so he can't get on over to YouTube. I apologize. I know.
Well, he has one of the 20 toughest jobs in America.
I know. I know for those of you that work for a living, you can't always get on over to YouTube. But, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to watch us on YouTube as you're building a high-rise.
Nick will describe it as it's happening. But, Dawn, talk to us about Piazza.
Yes. We've got to talk about our friends from Piazza Auto Group. You've heard me talk about the extensive crossover and SUV lineup that's available right now at Piazza Mazda. So they're offering 1.9% financing on the capable CX-50, the three-row CX-90, as well as the CX-70 plug-in hybrid. The sleek Mazda CX-5 and the sporty CX-30, they're available at 2.9%, all for 36 months. Just shop with confidence. Piazza Mazda in Westchester or Reading, as current inventory, of course, is unaffected by any new tariffs. Visit them. PiazzaMazda.com today, PIAZZA, PiazzaMazda.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.